Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. During the earthly ministry of Jesus, he had 12 disciples, and one of those 12 disciples betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus called that disciple the son of perdition. Even though it is recorded that disciple later repented, Jesus described that disciple as lost, not kept in the name of the Father. It was on the most compelling night of his life, the eve of his crucifixion, that Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven and prayed to the Father, acknowledging that the hour of his death had come and asking God to glorify him so that the Father could be glorified, so that all who the Father gave to Jesus could have eternal life. Jesus acknowledged that he had finished the work that the Father had sent him to earth to do. It was during this time that Jesus confirmed that except for Judas, all whom he had been given were kept in the name of the Father, and that he was not praying for the world, but for those whom the Father had given him. Jesus described Judas as the son of perdition, the son of damnation. In the Greek, Strong's Greek word 684, apoleia, it comes from the Greek root apo, meaning away or apart. The son of perdition was away and apart from the rest of the disciples. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are mine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep thou thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. That thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. In Revelation 19, verse 11, the angel of the bottomless pit is named Apollyon, using the same Greek root. Even the Greek god with a small g, Apollo, uses this root. While we are called, while living in this world, we are not to live a life apart from God. As the Gospels were written after the events had passed, the authors were able to identify Judas Iscariot as the disciple who betrayed Jesus. We know from a passage in John, Jesus already knew Judas would betray him when Judas first became one of his disciples. For now, let's read Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the name of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas seemed to be focused on money. Shortly before the death of Jesus, Jesus visited with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Mary, sister of Martha, not the mother of Jesus, used an expensive ointment on the feet of Jesus. The idea of massaging the feet of your house guests is something we wouldn't do today, nor do we do the modern equivalent, say, of washing and detailing the cars of your guests. That's sort of the modern equivalent to what Mary did back then. This offended Judas, who thought a better use would be to sell the ointment so that the money could be used to take care of the poor. In the story, the author writes that Judas had no care for the poor, but was a thief who bare or took what was in the bag. For Judas, money seemed to be more important than salvation. John 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. We can learn from another passage in John that many who listened to Jesus did not believe Jesus, especially the message of eternal life, and that Jesus was the Messiah. Many of the disciples beyond the 12 murmured at what Jesus said. Jesus knew these murmurers did not believe and also knew that Judas would betray him. Lack of belief and betrayal are linked in the same verse. The betrayal of Judas had some element of unbelief, because which person of faith would betray the Messiah if that person really believed the person was the Messiah? John 6, verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, and the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. The betrayal of Judas was described in one of the Psalms, Psalm 41, verse 5. Mine enemies speak evil of me. When shall he die and his name perish? And if he come to see me, he speaketh vanity. His heart gathereth iniquity to itself. When he goeth abroad, he telleth it. All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise my hurt. And evil to the disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him. And now he that lieth, he shall rise up no more. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus referenced the passage from Psalms when speaking to his disciples that final night he spent with them. Jesus told them in advance that one of them would betray him as a final proof that he was the Messiah. The disciples began to look at each other, wondering who would be the betrayer. Some even asked Jesus if it would be them. Jesus privately told what he would do to identify the betrayer. It didn't take long for Peter to see Judas would be the betrayer. The Bible records that Satan entered Judas at this point. John 13, verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come, that when it is come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Later that night, Judas located Jesus in the garden and had brought the high priests and their entourage. In the night, Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. Social and print media did not exist back then. People did not carry government-issued identification cards. There would have been no way for people to clearly identify Jesus. Jesus would have looked like the average person of his time. It would take a person who knew Jesus to identify Jesus. Luke 22, verse 47. And while he yet spake, behold the multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he suffered his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. As morning came, and the priests and the elders had decided that Jesus would die and took him to Pontius Pilate to obtain permission, Judas understood he was a condemned man, knowing that he had betrayed the Messiah, an innocent person. The priest washed their hands of the offense, and when Judas returned the money he had been given, realized it was blood money and could not be put back in the treasury of the temple. They instead bought a field to bury strangers. By this time, Judas had hanged himself. Matthew 27, verse 1. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for us to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and brought with them the potter's field to bury strangers therein. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver and the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. The phrase, the son of perdition, is used in one other place in the Bible, in the second letter of Thessalonians. In this letter, Paul warns us, the reader, that in the last day, there will be the son of perdition, a man of sin. He adds that this man will cause many to fall away. That falling away will come from the church. People who do not know Jesus, who are not part of the church, cannot fall away because they have not yet even arrived. In the passage from 2 Thessalonians, many characteristics of this man of perdition are given. He is described as one who opposes and exalts himself. In Greek, this man antichemis, or lies opposite, and hupereromis, or becomes haughty to the point where this person sees himself as better and more important than God. With the pandemic we have you heard people almost mocking people of religious faith who trust God, insisting they should instead trust science? Beyond the acts of opposing and exalting oneself, we are told the mystery of iniquity is already at work and will be at work when this man of perdition is revealed. In Greek, the mystery of iniquity is the mustherion, or shutting the mouth at, of anomia, violations of the law. The mystery of iniquity is the practice of not saying anything about violations of God's laws and teachings of Jesus to the point where violations of God's law and the teachings of Jesus are accepted to be without sin. Can you think of any practices of society that are contrary to what is written in the Bible and today generally considered to be without sin? We are told that because of this, God will send a strong delusion so that the people will believe the lie and would not be saved. These are the people who had pleasure, the Greek adoukio, pride, in what they did. Today, do we know of any people who take pride in what they do that is contrary to the law of God? Today, the vast majority of people do not worship God on the Sabbath, using the Sabbath as a day of rest, and they are proud of that. Some people ignore the needs of widows and orphans in their trouble while keeping themselves unspotted from the world, and they are proud of that. Some people don't see the need for brotherly love or see this as only an unachievable ideal. and they are proud of that. There are many things that people in this world are proud of because they are not yet called and are under a strong delusion sent by God, believing a lie. What we need to know is if we do not receive the love of the truth, we too are subject to that strong delusion and lie and will become a son or daughter of perdition. Just like Judas Iscariot became a son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, for they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. In Revelation, we are given many prophecies of the end time, including information about two individuals. One will speak great, or in the Greek, megas, things and blasphemies. This person, the beast, will wage an all-out war against God and the people who are gods living on earth, having good control over all continents, political, monetary, and religious systems. This beast comes to power through the will of Satan, and joining this beast is the second one, the false prophet, who can perform miracles, bringing fire down to earth from heaven. And what is fire from heaven? It could be a flaming asteroid or lightning from the sky. It will be these two who cause all to receive the mark of the beast if they want to buy or sell. The Bible tells us this mark will be in the right hand or forehead. When we think of marks today, we think of tattoos. When we think of buying or selling, we think of credit cards and chips. In the Exodus, the children of Israel were told to take the blood of the lamb and mark the doors to their homes so the angel of death would pass over them. The mark of the beast is only vaguely described, and until that time comes to pass, we won't know if what is described in Revelation is a physical mark or a spiritual mark. All we know is those who do not have the mark of the beast, the name of the beast, or the number of his names will not be able to buy or sell. At this time, there will be sons and daughters of perdition who will sell out and receive the mark of the beast. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns, ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life and of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all of the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. It deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. We know that these two deceive people who receive the mark of the beast and worship his image. At this future time, we cannot receive the mark of the beast and worship his image, or we will become a son or daughter of perdition. Revelation 19, verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and with which he deceived them which had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Moving into the future, we need to be aware of the warnings of Peter, who in his second letter told us of false teachers who will bring in heresies, denying Jesus Christ and bringing a swift destruction to themselves. By their actions, the truth shall be thought of as evil, because they covet. They count people like a merchant would count inventory, and although they seem righteous, live a sinful life. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, and condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed for righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which having forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in terror. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. The book of Jude is written as a warning about false teachers who, if we allow, could turn us into a son or daughter of perdition. Jude warns of a small group of people who choose to turn the truth of God into a license to sin, not realized by forgetting it was the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ that provides forgiveness of sin and access to eternal life, that they deny the purpose of Jesus Christ and God the Father. Think about it. If thousands of years ago Jesus died for our sins and was resurrected so we could have eternal life, if nothing we did today mattered, that no matter what we did, we would have eternal life and our sins would be forgiven, then why did Jesus die? Did Jesus die to forgive sin or to perpetuate sin? The purpose of the death of Jesus was to be a springboard to usher in the kingdom of God that would lead to the end of the world as we know it, through the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus did not die so that we could sin all we want, no matter what. The Bible is written with many examples for us to remember. From the Bible, we know that God saved his children from the land of Egypt and then destroyed those who didn't believe. The angels who rebelled had their chance and lost it. The cities of Sodom and Gomorrah are given as an example of destruction that can come to people who choose not to follow God. We will finish today by reading the book of Jude, starting in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Behold, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which is once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. These people speak evil without knowing they are speaking evil. They hate governance and speak evil of people who lead. They don't understand they are brutish beasts who, when given the choice between living a life like Abel or Cain, choose to live like Cain. These are people who are part of the church, not for what they can give, but what they can take, and are as phony as a cloud without water, or a fruit tree that gives no fruit. These are the people who will be the sons and daughters of perdition, who have reserved for them the darkness. Verse 8. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. These are spots in your feast of charity, and when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Enoch spoke of these people, telling that the Lord would come with 10,000s of his saints, a huge number, to bring justice to this world and to convict sin for what it is, sin. These false brethren will be people who are murmurers and complainers, who pursue their own lusts rather than righteousness, who mock people who are righteous in the eyes of God. We are to separate ourselves from these sons and daughters of perdition. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great, swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which are spoken before the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they that told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Instead, we are to increase the faith we have through prayer, by keeping ourselves in the love of God, looking for mercy from Jesus Christ, knowing eternal life is not something we can attain by ourselves. As we interact with this world, on some we will have compassion and make a difference. Others we will save with fear, literally pulling them out of the fire, recognizing that it is not nor will be anything we do that leads to our salvation, but the love of Jesus Christ for each of us that leads to our salvation. Verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from the falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Satan was an angel of perdition, and the demons were angels of perdition. Judas Iscariot was a man of perdition. In the end time, a man of perdition will be revealed. We can give thanks to God and Jesus Christ that Jesus will bring us to salvation as long as we do not rebel and fight against him. We need to choose the road that leads to life, not the road that leads to death. We must choose not to be a son or daughter of perdition. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.